Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 70.
I got a sports star anime movie.
Okay, cool.
Braden Holtby, Washington Capitals, goalie.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Good call. From the year 1970, El Topo.
Nice.
Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Right on, dude.
Yes, a really weird film if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah.
He's a weird dude, though.
He's a weird dude. Still would have loved to have seen his version of Dune, though.
That would have been sweet, yeah.
If you haven't seen Jodorowsky's Dune, you might want to get on that.
Oh, totally.
What's up with you, man?
Oh, not a lot. Just, you know, Liverpool plays fourth in the English Premier League. What?
It doesn't matter. If United wins on Wednesday in the Europa League, we're in Champions League, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't have to qualify.
Yeah, we'll see. Ajax is going to bring it, son.
Did you see Jose Mourinho played his youth academy team on Sunday?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. The entire team was at the youth academy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Resting the stars.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good on him for doing that, though.
Yeah.
Got to rest him up for that final attack.
And good on Liverpool for qualifying, because it was a pretty tough year.
It was tough.
Lots of really good teams in the EPL.
Mm-hmm.
My Red Sox are doing okay. Still around the 500 mark.
Okay.
I think only like 4 or 5 games out, so not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to September, man.
Oh, cool.
A lot of these films sound pretty good to me, so we'll see them either at Fantastic Fest or VIFF.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I haven't really kept up with the buzz. I'm always way behind. I always count on you for that. So,
nice.
Like, Bill, what do I watch?
Yeah, there's been some pretty cool stuff, so
right on.
I can't wait for that.
What are a couple of titles that come to mind?
Yorgos Lanthimos has a new film out.
Okay.
Called The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
Heard it's really fucked.
Cool. Like, I like that.
Like, I know. And I'm like, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
All of his movies have been weird.
Yeah.
I guess the other really, really big one that I want to see is the new Sofia Coppola film, The Beguiled.
Oh, yeah.
You might have seen the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm. Looks cool.
Looks pretty cool. I got a bunch of his stuff written down.
Cool.
Over there.
Yeah.
So, awesome. I can't wait.
Cool.
It's best time of the year, man. Festival season.
Yeah,
I love it.
Bring it on.
This weekend, we're going to Vancouver.
Yeah.
I'm going a little early
mm-hmm.
to see Wonder Woman at a press screening.
That's awesome.
Just because, why not?
Yeah.
For a 24-hour movie marathon at the Cinematheque in Vancouver, where we're going to record a show.
That's going to be awesome.
I don't know when it's going to be out.
Yeah.
Whenever Adrian wakes up.
Yeah. I'd like to get it out as soon as possible, just get it over with.
Cool.
Because there's not a lot of editing to do. You just put it all together and, heads up. You can go back a couple of years and listen to our previous podcast where we talked about the marathon as it was happening. And it was like, it's almost like a found footage podcast.
Yeah, it's really quite strange.
Yeah.
It's not what we usually do. Hopefully we're a little better this time because we've done it before, but who knows?
Yeah.
We got lots of friends are going to be there. So hopefully we got some other people joining in.
Oh yeah.
And I hope the movies are great. If they somehow play that new restoration of Stalker, I'd be really happy.
Sweet.
That's the film I really want to see there.
Nice.
So then I got a couple of ones after you're done. So
okay,
if you got anything?
Not really. I've been at home all alone the last like 2 weeks, and I've been eating pizza and tacos and ordering takeout and just, all the healthy stuff.
Bachelor, dude.
Total bachelor. So I'm excited to get Sarah back and, bring that balance back to my life, I guess.
Nice. Well, as we do every episode, if you're done.
Yeah, I am.
Couple of deaths, unfortunately.
Yeah, man.
Two. The actor would be Michael Parks. We all love Michael Parks. He was a big star in the 50s, but didn't really come back into fashion until like Tarantino and Rodriguez sort of started using him.
Right.
And then Kevin Smith started using him.
Yeah.
And I think probably his biggest role in the last little while was in Red State.
Yeah.
Where he was just amazing.
He's a powerhouse in that one.
If you haven't seen Red State, just it's a good movie, but see it for Michael Parks. He is great in that film.
Right.
And he always had that freaking presence, man, that voice. And he's going to be really missed. He's a great character actor, like a Robert Forster kind of guy.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, a guy who shows up in a movie and just classes it up a bunch.
Yeah, he does his job and does a phenomenal job at what he does. So
yeah, he will be missed. And unfortunately, this one more or less depressed me all week.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Not a movie guy. Had a Bond theme, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We know I love movies, but my life would be pretty incomplete without music. So yeah. Chris Cornell is one of the biggest frontmen of my generation.
Oh yeah.
People said he was this generation's Robert Plant, and I think mm-hmm. that's really quite apt.
Yeah.
Soundgarden was a top five band for me of all time.
Sweet.
I've seen them in concert 5 or 6 times, I think.
Cool.
I saw Cornell twice solo.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out he died, I took a picture of one of my concert tickets from Soundgarden. I saw them in 2011 during the comeback tour.
Okay.
I think there was only 6 cities that they went to.
Oh, wow.
And one of them was Vancouver.
Yeah.
The Meat Puppets in Queens of the Stone Age opened.
Oh, man. That must have been a hell of a show.
It was a hell of a show, man. They hadn't put the new disc out, and it was like a classic hit show.
Wow.
And it was killer.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This one hurts.
It does.
Not quite as bad as Cobain.
Mm-hmm.
But it really hurts. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I don't think it happened on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I think something happened mm-hmm. with his medication or something. Yeah. Makes it even worse.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's Soundgarden, Audioslave, and have been a big part of my, like, regular music rotation for years. And
do you remember the first time you heard Audioslave?
Oh, man.
And you were like, holy shit.
Yeah. I think my buddy brought the CD over, and we were just, like, freaking out.
Like, it's Rage Against the Machine with a rock singer.
Yeah, dude.
Like, they needed more.
I know. It was just unfair.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I never saw Audioslave.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. Oof. This one hurts.
It does.
It's not like Nirvana, where I'm not going to listen to their music for 2 years.
Right.
It just hurt too much.
Yeah.
But I can't listen to Soundgarden right now.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I usually put a bit of distance between myself and an artist that passes away who meant a lot to me. My earliest memory of Chris Cornell was hearing Spoon Man for the first time. That was probably the first song for me that had them land on my radar. And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And who is this? And I loved the music video. And I think I had it like recorded on VHS or something. And loved playing that over and over.
Nice.
So it's a major loss for sure. And definitely felt around the world. It was nice to read beautiful stories from other fans who had experiences either going to a show or discovering his music. And I think that's awesome when people can share those memories.
Yeah. Yeah. We are a movie podcast, but we'd be nothing without music. So
exactly.
Love Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Oh yeah.
But, enjoy the music.
Absolutely.
If you can listen to it.
Yeah.
And if you really want a movie with Chris Cornell on it, watch Singles.
Yes.
Which is a great movie. Back in the day when Cameron Crowe was at his peak.
Yeah.
From like, there was like a 10-year period there where everything he made was special.
Yeah.
And everybody that you love in the grunge era is in Singles.
Oh yeah.
Including Layne Staley.
Yeah.
From Alice in Chains, who also died. Right. Who was also one of my favorite bands of all time. So it's kind of a weird time capsule thing that kind of freaks me out when I watch it now. So, but yeah, Singles is great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I seem to be doing this every episode and it kind of sucks.
It does suck. There's actually one more actor we should talk about. Powers Booth passed
away. Oh yeah, I forgot about Powers Booth.
Yeah, that was another big loss because
they're making a Deadwood movie. And Powers Booth died.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
damn it.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was. He's one of those guys who would show up in a movie and maybe he wasn't always the lead, but his presence was felt in every role he played.
What is with us losing all these cool character actors like Bill Paxton and people like that? Like, these are the guys that don't win awards, but they steal the movie.
Oh yeah.
And they all seem to be dying.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah. It's really sad. Yeah. It's Probably my favorite Powers Booth performance is his performance in Tombstone.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, you know, Westerns, for a while, they were making a comeback there in the 90s. And he was one of the pioneers of that, you know?
Tombstone's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the better Westerns.
Oh, yeah.
Modern Westerns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's... Yeah, he'll be missed, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's... Take us up a notch.
Yeah, let's take it up a notch.
Sorry to bring everybody down, but
yeah,
I thought I'd report it.
Yeah, absolutely. We should talk about the... This is how we can honor these artists that we love and enjoy for all they gave us as movie fans or music fans.
I know. I was thinking we should put a Soundgarden song before the beginning of the podcast, and I'm thinking, no, I don't want to hear it. I can't right now.
Yeah, it's tough.
And if somebody else is going through the same thing, I don't want to bring that up. So
yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. So should we move on with the rest of the show?
Yeah.
All right. Let's let's go from that to something totally opposite. Let's get into the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie related. I'm pretty heated, so I'll go first this time. My blood's boiling. It's been boiling since last week. But Cannes Film Festival is a festival infamous for quote-unquote movie fans who revel in booing movies. And
or streaming service companies.
Yeah. So they boo... We're of course talking about Netflix. They booed the Netflix logo for the movie. What?
Okja.
Okja.
Boon Jong-ho film.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Why are you booing him?
Yeah, one of the best living directors going right now.
Yeah.
And you boo his film. Like, these people don't love movies. They just love themselves. And I can just picture them, you know, twisting their mustache and going, ha ha ha, I participated in that. Or I was the one who started it. And who the fuck are you, man? Like, you. Netflix is doing some really exciting things in cinema. I wish those fucking dinosaurs would catch up. That's
preach,
it.
Preach, man. No, I'm in a complete agreement. We're going to talk about something in Lightning Round. Just a little bit of a spoiler. It's a television show.
Okay, yeah.
It's my second favorite movie of the year so far.
Nice. Nice.
And it's a television show.
Yeah.
You'll know what I talk about during Lightning Round, but Netflix is doing God's work right now, man.
They are.
They're doing some good stuff.
Yeah.
People who... I don't get the whole booing thing. I think my favorite ever booing story of all time at Cannes was when everybody booed The Brown Bunny, the Vincent Gallo film.
Okay.
And Roger Ebert was really... He led it because he hated the film so much.
Oh, really?
And then him and Vincent Gallo got in a big argument about it through the media.
Wow.
Because he's Roger Ebert. To his credit, Gallo recut the film.
Okay.
And Roger Ebert rewashed it and liked the film. And,
oh, wow.
And like a man, apologized to Vincent Gallo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
You're all a bunch of hacks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they, you know, there have been a lot of movies that have pissed me off just because they're bad. But I've never actually felt like I had to ruin the experience for everybody else. Like, I'll just go and tweet about it, or, you know, I'll go find somebody to bitch at after the movie. Or...
There was a film at the Whistler Film Festival that as soon as it ended, I stood up and said, fuck that film, and then I walked out.
I could understand that.
Yeah.
And that was at the end of the film.
Totally. I watched the entire film.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
My rant has to do with the really sad news about Zack Snyder's daughter killing herself today, and everybody going on Twitter talking about how now Joss Whedon has taken over Justice League.
Right.
And how they all automatically assume it's going to be a better film because Joss Whedon has taken over.
Right.
Don't kick the guy when he's down.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels really gross.
Yeah.
And you all should know better.
Yeah, I agree.
It's gross.
It is.
Leave him alone. It happened a couple months ago, and he's still been working on it.
Yeah.
Give him some credit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think other people would have stayed on, but he stayed on. And I'm no Zack Snyder guy.
Right.
But I'm giving him full credit for this. I don't care if Justice League is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch it and make my own opinion.
Right.
But you know what? He tried.
Oh, yeah.
In really crappy circumstances.
Yeah.
So give him the benefit of the doubt and don't be assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Rant out.
Absolutely. We're all humans, man.
Totally.
And, you know, if something like that, like, happened to me, you know, my work has things in place that would allow me to just step away immediately and deal with that kind of family business. But to for him to truck through it and to think of, you know, the greater good for the movie, I think that shows a lot of class, a lot of character. And for him to come out with his wife and say that we just need to step away, I applaud him for that. I think that takes a lot of balls. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I also applaud Joss Whedon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who stepped away from Marvel and then stepped in when something happened. So congratulations. You're a good guy too. Like, yeah. I like Joss Whedon.
Always absolutely. Have. Yeah.
But yeah, rant out.
Yeah, good rant, man. I fully agree with you. People are assholes, and I don't
film
know,
man. Twitter, man.
Yeah, just they're not human.
You always talk about film Twitter and how inhuman people are, and it's true.
It's a sad truth. Let's talk about some movies, and this might be an extension of the rant, I think.
What are we going to do first?
Let's start with the garbage movie first. We're, of course, talking about the latest sci-fi from Ridley Scott. It's called Alien Covenant.
Well, I told you I would get out of Lynchburg. I bet you didn't think it was going to be like this, though, did you? I'm about to go into hypersleep, but I couldn't do that without having one more drink with my little baby brother. So, smuggled a little of our favorite onto the ship. When Ferris and I applied for this job, I never in a million years thought I'd even pass the background check. Yeah. Well, and Yutani, I know you guys are going to watch this. But it's a little too late to send me home now, so I might as well be honest. I have been arrested 3 times, and I have stolen a vehicle. And I also punched a police officer's horse in the mouth on St. Patrick's Day. And you guys have handed me the keys to the most expensive spaceship in history. Suckers.
Okay, so I may have shown my hand there. What is Alien Covenant all about?
It's directed by Ridley Scott. The crew of a colony ship bound for a remote planet discover an uncharted paradise with a threat beyond their imagination.
Ooh.
Michael Fassbender, Catherine Waterson, Billy Crudup, Danny McBride, Damian Bashir. And because she was an upstream color, Amy Simetz.
Yeah.
I love Amy Simetz.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Not Man. So much in this film.
No, she's a non. All of them are non-factors in this movie, right?
Smart people doing dumb things.
Yeah.
You hated this a lot more than I did, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I still really hated it.
Yeah.
You texted me and was like, oof. And I'm just like, oh, no. Oh, no. Because you saw it before me. And yeah. That's what this whole movie is to me. The smartest people in their entire colony who are put into this job to be the leaders who probably know how to, like, not be totally stressed out and do stupid things. They do stupid things.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over again, and it ruins the film.
Yeah.
You could have had the greatest script of all time, but they kept on doing stupid things after one another. It just makes no sense and just ruins the film.
It does. Yeah. It takes me out of the experience. And there were multiple times when a couple of these characters were together, and as soon as some bad shit went down, one character just bolts out of the room and fucks off. And it's like, what are you doing, man? Like, how about your bro there? Like there's this scene where these two security guys, they're together, and one gets attacked, and the other guy just fucks right off right away. I was just like, what? Like, they've been trained, haven't they? Like, are they... what's going on? And while these dumb things are happening, I'm thinking about these things and I'm not focused on the movie.
Yeah, it takes you completely out of it. Did you like or hate Prometheus?
Oh, I hated that movie.
Okay, so it's like this movie is exactly like Prometheus, except for they were told you have to make it more alien-like.
Right.
So you got to throw more aliens in.
That's right.
Because Prometheus didn't have a lot of aliens in it.
Mm-hmm.
That pissed people off. It's the whole Godzilla thing.
Oh, yeah.
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 So this is the exact same freaking film as Prometheus with a character doing something really stupid and more aliens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, how about this? How about you pick if you're a Prometheus film or an alien film?
Yeah. I think... I'm going to say something I don't want to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Hot take.
I think Ridley Scott just needs to stop making movies.
You didn't like The Martian?
I thought The Martian was good.
Yeah.
You can't fuck up The Martian because it's already, you know, it's an amazing book. Like,
yeah, that's true. He took it from a book. So
yeah.
Unless he, you know, started making Matt Damon really stupid like these people.
Yeah. But before that, it was like, you have to go like, for me, you have to go back as far as like the Gladiator or wait, no, Kingdom of Heaven Director's Cut was pretty good. That was like 2005.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of misses lately.
But wasn't that his third cut of the film or something like
that? Oh, was it?
I think so.
Yeah. But yeah, he just leaves this franchise alone. Retire. Stop making movies, man. I don't see how people enjoy this movie, but yeah, this is another thing I wanted to talk about a little bit. Is this is this year's La La Land. It's either you love it or fuck off. You're not on my team. You're a piece of shit. And I've received a lot of aggression from people because I didn't like this movie.
Wow. Okay. I film Twitter once again.
Yeah.
This is why I stay off Twitter.
That's right.
Some of the direction is okay. Some of it's really bland, mm-hmm. but some of it looks good. And yeah. I think there's some actual practical effects in the film, which I thought were pretty cool. Not as much CG as I expected. But man, when it's bland, it is bland.
Oh, yeah.
Worst score of the year?
It's pretty bad. Really bad.
Yeah. Insert emotion here because the score is telling me.
Yeah.
I hated the score.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so bad. I can't get over how pointless this film is.
It really is.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
It's Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's the same right. fucking film. Except yeah. for it's got a couple more aliens in it and a diabolical character with a little bit more scientific mumbo jumbo shit thrown in that makes no sense.
Yeah.
A character has an about face. It's not really explained. It's almost to the point where it's explained in the first 5 minutes of the film, and it's because he didn't want to get tea for somebody. Literally, that is the explanation.
Yeah.
Fuck this film.
Oh, it's so bad. It is so bad. There are some concepts that are introduced in the last act of the film that I thought were really interesting, but I was so far removed from that point that I just couldn't care any less for this film. I was just like, yeah, you lost me, man.
Speaking of the really terrible ending,
yeah.
If you did not figure this ending out so far in advance, because like every stupid film this year, everything is foreshadowed now. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah.
If you didn't figure this one out, they even try to bait and switch you. And it doesn't work either.
Mm.
Drove me nuts. If you didn't figure this out, there's something wrong with you. It is that blatantly obvious. This whole film is blatantly obvious.
Yeah. And what makes it worse is that it actually is played as like a gotcha moment. And it's like, no, I've been watching for the last hour and this payoff is garbage.
I still don't think it's a terrible film. Not as much as you do, I don't think.
Yeah.
I rate it like 2 out of 5.
Okay.
That's just still not very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably be like a 1 out of 5 because it's beautifully shot. And that's really about the only good thing I can say about it.
Wow.
It's a garbage, garbage movie.
Wow.
And, you know, I think I'm going to lose a lot of friendships over this one, but.
Internet critic Drew McWeeny said it best. I don't like Prometheus, and I don't like Alien Covenant. Yes, I get that. You like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that you have some sort of stupid idea of how they actually work and how I'm missing something. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I just don't like them.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I saw the same thing. He's one of the best follows on Twitter.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all allowed to have our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Alien Covenant sucks.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Yeah, it's bad.
Tell us what you really think, Bill.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It sucks. And yeah, it's not bad because it's not as good as Alien or Aliens. Like, nothing will ever be Alien or Aliens. It's just bad because it's fucking bad. Like, I told you before, I was like, if I'm at a restaurant and the food is burnt or like something tastes sour with my food, I'm going to complain. I'm going to say, hey, this is bad food.
And also when you set up rules in the first Alien films and don't really follow them in this one, that sucks too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no rule following.
No.
In this one.
Thrown out the window, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a bad movie. Do you have anything else to say?
But hey, man, by all means, if you like it, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
But you know what? This summer is off to a bad start.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians aside, you know, this, Fast 8.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Pretty lackluster.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I agree, man.
Like the film that we're probably doing next, I don't know what we're doing next, but I liked this more than I liked Alien Covenant.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd asked me that last show, I would have been like, no way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd have been like, you're high, dude.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Cool.
Let's get on to that one.
Let's get to it. Yeah. Let's talk about our next movie. This is Guy Ritchie in his renaissance following The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He's back with King Arthur. What's it called? King Arthur, Truth of the Sword?
Legend of the Sword.
Legend of the Sword. Okay. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Let's do it.
I see what you're doing. You're trying to get me to do something razzle-dazzle with that sword. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not getting drawn into this mess. There's an army of you. There's only one of me. I haven't had a fight for years. And I talk. I'm happy to talk. But there is no way that I am fighting.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this movie?
So, robbed of his birthright, Arthur comes up the hard way in the back alleys of the city. But once he pulls the sword from the stone, he is forced to acknowledge his true legacy, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
Yes. Charlie Hunnam, Jude Oscar Law.
Yes.
Because Jude Law is going to win an Oscar for this film.
You can get all the trophies.
Jamon Hounsou, Eric Bana, Aidan Gillen, and the great Neil Maskell.
Yes.
Love me some Neil Maskell.
He's so good in this.
Yeah. So yeah, as I said, I was not expecting to like this one. I don't think it's great.
Yeah.
There's major problems with it.
Oh, yeah.
But this is a hell of a lot more watchable than Alien Covenant, I'll tell you that.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually fun. Like, I had a fun time watching
it. Like, what a weird concept.
It is, right?
Yeah. Except for the whole Guy Ritchie aspect of it.
Yeah.
This is a really watchable film.
It is.
It's not bad. The script's kind of funny at times.
Yeah.
The plot sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is more than I can say about some other films this summer. Oh, yeah. Everybody's having fun. The dialogue at times is really quite like Guy Ritchie Lockstock era kind of dialogue.
Yeah. It does feel too modern at times.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Whatever. I'm watching it.
Everybody is dressed like a peasant, except for Charlie Hunnam with his leather pants.
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
Looks like a total rock star.
Totally. But yeah, it's all the usual Guy Ritchie bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Slow-mos from out of nowhere. Yeah. Flashbacks to explain stuff.
Yeah.
That's just like his like only technique.
Yeah.
I think. Like that even happened in Lockstock.
Oh, it did.
Snatch and all those films. Yeah, it's... other than Guardians, this is probably my favorite film of the summer so far. Nice. That's really weird.
It's not a high bar right now, though, is it?
And you know what's really scary? I rated this 3 out of 5, and it's my second favorite film of the summer.
It's awesome.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it just a little bit more than you, but I'd probably only go, like, 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. I think Charlie Hunnam is a good action star. Like, I don't flip out over him or anything, but I think he's competent at what he does. He looks the part and he plays the part. And there's some cool action sequences, you know, where he's learning his powers and stuff. I was like, that's freaking cool. I had fun watching that. And the supporting cast, like, what's his name? Aidan Gillen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love watching him in anything he does.
Littlefinger.
Yeah, that's right. Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. He's just got a lot of charisma that just, like, drips off the screen. And you get to see him kick a little ass, too, in this one, which I think is fun.
Yeah, the stuff with the bow is really good.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't know too much about the whole Arthur / Excalibur story thing. Mm. That's not really my thing. So I don't really know if this is like the definitive story. I'm guessing it's probably not.
Yeah.
It's a Guy Ritchie film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Maybe I'm just, yeah. So, I'm watching the film and the acting is fine. Hunnam comes off pretty good as like the Arthur, the cocky bastard.
Yeah.
He talks like a Lockstock and Two Smoking Barrels character.
He does.
All of his friends are super just like him. He's like almost like Robin Hood for his area.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Jude Law.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He's almost in a different film.
He really is.
He is just going for it. Like, it's unreal how, like, out of the blue, his, like, super wacky performance is.
Yeah.
But I loved every second of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so over the top and great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. He's hamming it up in this one. It's great.
And Eric Bana, Jamon Hansu... They bring a lot of class to the film.
Yeah.
And as I said, I love Neil Maskell.
Yeah. Why don't you talk a bit about his like past, like before so this.
People might know him from the early Ben Wheatley films. Most notably Kill List.
That's right, he was
the lead actor in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's also been in some TV stuff that I like Utopia.
Okay.
One of my favorite TV shows of the last 10 years.
Nice.
He's really underrated.
He is.
I really think he's great. And he brings a nice little performance to this film. He has a kid in the film and the kid's really good too.
Mm-hmm.
I really like him. There's a mage character just called The Mage in the credits, played by Astrid Burgess Frisbee, who I seriously thought was Lea Seydoux the entire film.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
I read the credits. I'm like, that wasn't Lea Seydoux.
I thought that for a while, too.
But he could do a lot worse than this.
You can.
And I'm shocked to say that. I think we're the 3% again on this one.
Yeah. I think so, too, because a lot of people slammed it, and I just... You know, I get it. Maybe you're not down with Guy Ritchie, and I haven't been the biggest Guy Ritchie fan of late. I thought...
Yeah, but you know what, man? We liked Man from U.N.C.L.E. too.
Yeah.
Nobody liked that one either.
Yeah, that movie is a blast.
It's fun.
It's so fun. And, like, that's what I said on Twitter. I was like, isn't that why we go to the movies? If you have fun, like, yeah, mission accomplished. You got your money's worth. And, you know, some people might debate that, but I know what I like, and I enjoyed this one quite a bit.
Yeah, you can do worse.
You could do a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're remotely interested in this one, you'll probably enjoy it.
It's bombed so bad.
Yeah.
I almost feel bad for Warner Brothers.
Okay.
But you know what? I think everybody knew this film was going to bomb.
Yeah.
Who wanted to see this film?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's a reason why Alien Covenant made money.
Yeah.
It has a big title behind it.
That's
it
true.
It's had nothing. It's,
yeah.
Like, who cares about Guy Ritchie?
You know what they should have done? They should have advertised the greatest cameo of all time in movie history.
Is that a spoiler?
I'll just say this. There's a guard who has so much swagger and sex appeal that I jumped out of my chair and my seat was wet. And yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Do you mean that guy who used to play midfield for Manchester United?
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. I got so excited at that scene.
Yeah. Then he played for Real Madrid. And then he played for Paris Saint-Germain. And then he played for the LA Galaxy.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you guys know who I'm talking about yet?
A few will know.
Yes.
A few will know that. Yeah. So yeah, King Arthur, you could do worse and... Sure, you can do better,
but it's chance.
Yeah,
just give it a chance. It's not bad. You know, if somehow we could eliminate all the Guy Ritchie-isms in the film, I think it'd be a better film, too.
Oh, yeah.
People just don't like Guy Ritchie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
His stuff's kind of weak.
Yeah.
But the story's not bad, and it's kind of funny at times. Yeah. And as you said, Charlie Hunnam's kind of enjoyable. So
you
could do worse. Even if you watch it on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
I say see it on the big screen, though.
Yeah.
Give it a little money.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You could do worse. Go on a cheap night.
Yeah, for sure.
I did.
Right on, dude. Okay, so let's move on to our next film. Let's talk about Laura Poitras' film, Risk.
Oh, hello. Can I please speak to Hillary Clinton? I'm calling from the office of Julian Assange. Hey, this is an emergency.
This is not the film I thought I was making. I thought I could ignore the contradictions. I thought they were not part of the story. I was wrong. They are becoming the story.
There's a filmmaker named Laura Poitras. Laura Poitras is known through the defense community as a documentary filmmaker who's anti-US.
My detentions at the border have become more aggressive. When I got home, my apartment door was open. Did I forget to close it? Or are they sending me a message?
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
The story of WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Julian Assange, as seen by documentary filmmaker Laura Poitras, filmed over a six-year period, running parallel with the filming of Citizen 4. Yeah, Julian Assange. What a creep.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody who's in WikiLeaks who's a male, what a creep.
Yeah. They don't do themselves any favors with this movie, do they?
No, they sure do not. You just watched this.
I did.
I really don't know what you thought about this.
Moments before I came here.
What'd you think?
I really enjoyed this one. I think it's it captures an important moment in our history. And yeah, it is gross to watch, though, at times, because it reminded me a lot of that Lance Armstrong documentary from a few years ago, where the director basically had to call an audible and make a completely different movie. Because this one was just going to be like WikiLeaks the movie, right?
Yeah. She even says it during the film. She has an abrupt face on this one. She has to change her thought process because he's done some stuff.
Yeah.
Julian Assange was in the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK for years because he wouldn't go to Sweden to get a rape charge taken care of. It wasn't even a charge yet. Mm-hmm. People had said that he had done something bad, and he wouldn't go back to Sweden. He lived in an embassy to not have to face questions.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a little creepy.
It is. Big time.
His second in command, really creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob Applebaum.
Yeah.
And there's one female, Sarah Harrison, who's actually seemed like a pretty cool person,
mm-hmm.
but she wasn't a male, so because everybody in WikiLeaks is a creep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Julian Assange and his bunch of cohorts leaked a bunch of documents, but Laura Poitras got really angry with him because of the whole rape charge. And then all of a sudden, some other dude, you might have heard of him, named Edward Snowden, sort of came into Laura Poitras' life, and she started doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Julian Assange didn't like that.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the film narrative really changes because Julian's an egomaniac and wants everything for him.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
Like, she was doing other things, and he freaked out to the point now where I think they don't even really speak,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't like the film.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, it's because we see what he's like, and we see, like, there's even little things where he tells people what to do. He's like, oh, go over there, go check that out. And it's like, what a dick, you know? Like, just the way he talks to people. Yeah, the whole rape allegations. He says that he's worried about getting sent back to the U.S. But, you know, it's... I think that him hiding at that embassy for so many years, I think that speaks volumes for the way he feels. And
he just got out, eh?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Swedish government dropped all the charges because of a time limit.
Wow.
So he outwaited it.
That's crazy.
He could have been totally guilty.
Yeah.
But nobody will ever know because he just avoided it.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
That is really fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite have the tension that Citizen 4 does.
No.
Because that film is just a masterpiece of, like, tension.
Mm-hmm.
But the last act of this film is really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Takes a little bit to get to that part.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the last act is great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when they talk about the presidential race, right? And they talk about... They sort of start to get into WikiLeaks and their affiliation with Russia. And that whole scenario just feels gross. Like, even before this movie came out, that's always felt gross to me. So just to see him sidestep these kinds of allegations, it's just, I get that he wants to protect his sources and whatnot.
WikiLeaks is a cool idea.
Yeah.
But it should be, like, completely open about everything. Assange is such an egomaniac that it will never be that.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of it. And I love the idea of people holding governments accountable, but not like this.
Yeah.
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 This shouldn't be the We Hate Julian Assange show. I think it just, I think every government has to be held accountable.
Oh, yeah.
This is, you know, Edward Snowden seemed like a really cool guy and felt the need to do this. Because he had to do it.
Right.
Julian Assange does this because it feeds his ego. Mm-hmm. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's something that should be for the people, not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing is disgusting. I was also really interested in the bits where they talked about Chelsea Manning. She's a whistleblower that revealed that disgusting footage of, it was like reporters and other people who got shot, right? By the military. And I've seen that video before, but like in the context of this movie, it was even more frustrating to watch.
Barack Obama made sure that Chelsea Manning got out before he left. I kind of wish he had done the same for Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
So now Edward Snowden lives in Russia. Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's not going to be used as a pawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing is a mess. But I think it's really, really interesting that we have this perspective, this inside perspective through these movies, Citizen Four and Risk. And
I'm really scared for Laura.
Yeah.
She keeps on getting detained at airports, and they break into her house, and they're always looking at her everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
I feel really scared for her.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen to her.
Yeah.
You know, you do it once, somebody gets killed, you might not have another documentary like this.
Exactly.
So I hope for the best for her.
Yeah. Yeah, the things that she's doing, I think, are beautiful. And, and she even talks about it in the movie, the stuff they've done. Like, she comes home and her door is open. It's like, what the fuck?
They probably did nothing.
Yeah.
But just left her door open.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's all they needed to do.
Yeah, just to let her know we're here. And there's, like, they play that leaked audio of, what was it, the CIA talking about her? And it's just like, man.
Yeah, scary stuff.
She's making movies and wants to tell the truth and tell the side of the story that people should know. And
also, a big shout out to Kirsten Johnson, who was one of the DPs on this film.
Oh, cool. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. We talk a lot about camera person.
Yeah.
And she's doing good stuff like this, too. So, congratulations to her.
Yeah.
I rated this 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Don't think it's quite as good as Citizen 4, but it's still, I think, a pretty essential documentary.
Yeah.
Especially, there hasn't been much this year. So,
yeah.
Check us out. It's on iTunes, VOD, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Risk.
Check it out. All right, so let's move on to the next part of our show, Movie Club. This is where Bill picks a movie for us to watch. We watch it, we come back here, and we talk about it. Like I always say with Movie Club, we always encourage our listeners to join in. You don't always have to. If you watch one of the movies from a previous episode, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll talk more about that at the end of this segment. So the choice for this episode's Movie Club is 20th Century Women. This came out last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, technically, I think it came out this year.
Okay. Like, one of those weird releases.
It had one of those Oscar qualifying runs.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They released it in New York on like December 30th or something.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I saw it at a film fest last year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this movie and let's get into it.
It's directed by Mike Mills. Story of a teenage boy, his mother, and two other women who help raise him among the love and freedom of Southern California in 1979. They totally forgot Billy Crudup there.
They did.
Thanks, IMDb. Annette Bening, Elle Fanning, Greta Gerwig, Billy Crudup, and Lucas Jade Zuman. My number 5 film of last year, Adrian Charlie. What did you think of 20th Century Women?
Yeah, I love this movie, man.
Nice.
It's really.
I had no idea what you thought about it.
Yeah, it's hard to miss with this cast and that writing and just even the way it's shot. It's a beautifully shot movie.
I know.
It's so beautiful.
I love this film.
Yeah.
I probably watch this film a lot more than people think I do.
Oh, really?
I kind of just put it on in the background and listen to it.
Cool.
It's got really cool, snappy dialogue.
It does. You know, it reminded me of, and this is not just like a parallel comparison, but it just reminded me of the spirit of Captain Fantastic.
Yeah.
But more of a female perspective. Just because, you know, they they talk to him, the boy, who is, what is he, 16 or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah.
And, but they talk to him like a person, like an adult. There's like that, you know. I appreciated his relationship with his mother. Like, she just shoots him straight, and there's no bullshit there. And I love that about the movie.
I remember last year during our top 10 show, I sort of said this reminded me of a episode of The Wonder Years.
Okay.
Which, nice. Which I think is a pretty cool little thought.
Yeah.
I just, as I said then too, the Annette Bening character is my stepmom.
Okay.
It's really weird.
No
like,
way.
She's just like that.
Okay.
Yeah. even down to like stock tips kind of stuff, but not like that kind of, yeah. But she does that kind of stuff too.
Okay.
I still think obviously Annette Bening is really great in the film,
mm-hmm.
but the Greta Gerwig character really does it for me in this film.
Yeah, she's great.
She always does it for me.
Yeah.
We're big fans of her on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Each character is given their own little vignette explaining mm-hmm. their life. And the one with Greta Gerwig makes me laugh and cry at the same time.
Oh, big time.
It's so great.
Yeah.
There's a scene in this film with Greta Gerwig where she comes out of a doctor's appointment with the son and just stands there looking dejected with a Lou Reed t-shirt on.
Yeah.
That I think it's like one of the more haunting scenes I've seen in a film in a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of like the whole idea of like the voiceover?
It worked. I liked it.
I love the voiceover.
Yeah.
It's not just because it's from everybody.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. One thing I found is that the son sounded exactly like Annette Bening. So
yeah.
It was kind of tough to tell the difference at first, but I think that's by design because they're, you know, mother and son. And
did you like him as an actor?
I did, yeah.
He did not get outshined by all these people,
yeah.
Which I thought was really great.
Yeah, I've never seen him before.
I haven't either.
But these other actors, we've seen them, you know?
Elle Fanning is great.
Yeah.
She's just becoming a really, really great actress.
Mm-hmm.
She's just got that kind of look,
mm-hmm.
that bitchy look.
Yeah, that's right.
It just really seems to work.
It does.
The first time you see her in the film, she's riding on a bicycle with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth.
Yeah.
And I love that scene.
Yeah. That's great.
Billy Crudup, Russell Hammond in his 40s.
Oh, totally.
I love that.
Yeah.
He's just a dude who likes to kind of just hang around and fix stuff, and he wants to do his pottery.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's...
He wants to find love, too.
Yeah, he seems to be really unlucky in love.
Yeah.
But has no problem getting it.
That's right.
Because he's Russell Hammond.
That's right.
But yeah, as I said, Greta Gerwig, she dances, which I think is great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. To like punk music.
Oh, no, it's so great.
Yeah.
Do you like the first scene in the film with a car on fire?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
So great.
Yeah.
Just how they talk about how that was the mother and son live together, but there's no father in the picture. And that was the father's car.
Yeah.
And she talks about how it used to be a really great car.
Yeah.
And he's just like, but it got old.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so great.
It's like, it smelled like gas and it overheated all the time.
And the Elle Fanning character is like the teenage friend of the son who sort of lives there.
Yeah.
Comes in through the window at night and sleeps with the son. And mm-hmm. they're all this kind of weird, almost like commune.
Yeah.
And he's a teenage boy.
Yeah.
And she's a good-looking teenage woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, we should just remain friends. And he wants nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of guys can relate to that, the whole friend zone thing.
Yeah, that's totally what it is.
It's so real, dude.
Yeah. But you know what? What it really comes down to, I think Mike Mills is a really good filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Beginners was his film about his dad.
Yeah, it's an amazing film.
It was just a really great film. Plummer won an Oscar for it, and Ewan McGregor is underrated.
Oh, yeah.
This is the film about his mom.
Mm-hmm.
During a time, a really weird time in American history, especially with music.
There's
a really great line in this film, and I want to ask you it. I like Black Flag and the Talking Heads.
Okay.
What does that make me?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you like those bands?
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, because
that's like a weird distinction in the film. Either you like Black Flag, or you like the Talking Heads.
Yeah,
and I like Henry Rollins, and he's a punk.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man.
Yeah,
because you're not supposed to like them both, And
it's that the scene where they put the Black Flag album on and they're all just like, what is this music?
Oh, yeah.
And then they put on the Talking Heads and they're like, oh, yeah, I get this. This is better.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. I loved the music aspect to this. I thought that was really cool because it is important in our lives. So
great Buzzcocks song during the end credits too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that
song. Oh, that's cool. You know, one of the scenes I loved the most was when the kid was at the skate park or the skate ramp, I guess. The one kid's like telling his sex story and bragging about how many times he got off his girlfriend and just listening to him talk. I was like, yeah, I remember those stories.
Totally.
Like 100% of it is bullshit.
Yeah, totally. And there's just weird little scenes like that. And like the scene where he holds his breath and compresses his diaphragm and passes out. That's such a great scene. It's so weird and just feels real.
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming from a real place.
Yeah. I wish we could get more into spoilers, but this is a brand new film, more or less, which kind of sucks because usually we can go into a little bit more. But I'm super glad you like this one.
Yeah.
I think this is like the most underrated film of last year / this year.
Yeah, it could be.
Because nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Like how many people do you know who actually have talked about this other than me?
Yeah.
And maybe Will Lindis.
Yeah, that's true.
Who I think
that's
also really likes the film too.
Yeah.
So, I had nothing last episode because I was lazy and didn't really prepare. So I just said, fuck it, we'll give you a new film.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you dug it.
Oh, dude.
I'm glad you finally got to see it.
Yeah, it's great. And it's one that I just need to make time for these movies. It's just me being lazy. Like, it even played theatrically here and for some reason, didn't see it. Like, there's no excuse for that. But glad I watched it.
It was nice on the big screen.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
You know me, I love my visuals and there's a lot of they've got a very subtle way about the way they move the camera to draw you into those intimate conversations.
And weirdly, out of the blue, characters will have like rainbow tracers on them.
That's right.
This film is so rad.
Yeah.
I love this film.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. So really, really enjoyed it and highly recommend it.
Cool. Yeah, we're bringing that one back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you want to get a little weird?
Let's get weird, dude.
All right. So I'll be talking about Twin Peaks in my lightning round and how much I love Twin Peaks.
Okay, cool.
And I thought, I know Adrian's seen Mulholland Drive.
Yeah.
So I can't do that one.
Yeah.
Let's do a David Lynch film from back in the day.
Okay.
The one that's most sort of kind of maybe like Twin Peaks.
Okay.
And by that I mean there's nothing like Twin Peaks.
That's right.
And there's nothing like Blue Velvet.
Okay.
David Lynch is really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to like this one. Okay. It's really fucked.
Yeah.
He's a special kind of dude.
Yeah.
I think it's a masterpiece.
Sweet.
As much as it's a really weird film.
Yeah.
But I think we're adventurous enough that we can watch weird films.
Oh, totally.
So it's from 1986.
Yeah.
David Lynch. He's one of a kind. I hope you like it.
Nice, man.
Probably my second favorite David Lynch film.
Sweet.
So,
right on, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it. Another one of those ones I just haven't made the time for. So,
yeah, watch out for Dennis Hopper, man.
Okay.
Woo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
You know you're in for a thrill when the opening scene of Blue Velvet is an ear on the ground with ants all over it.
Oh, shit. Nice.
David Lynch.
Yeah. What a weirdo. Right on, dude. So, that's our next episode's Movie Club selection. And a friendly reminder, part of what we love about Movie Club is when the listener participates. So if you ever watch 20th Century Women or Blue Velvet, even a previous Movie Club movie, and want to share your thoughts with us, we'd love to hear from you, and we'll read your comments on the next episode. So if you want to join Movie Club and you want to talk about Blue Velvet, the next time we record is likely going to be June 4th, June 5th, somewhere in there. So if you watch it by then.
Can't be June 5th.
Okay.
That's my birthday.
Oh, okay.
Recording a show on my birthday.
Okay, we won't be doing that.
I'm going to eat some barbecue and disappear.
Nice.
I don't like my birthday.
Yeah.
I hate people wishing me happy birthday.
Yeah.
Which is shitty because I just fucking set my birthday over a podcast. But
Cool, man.
June 4th it is.
Okay. So June 4th, if you watch it by then, or any previous Movie Club movie, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you have to say about the movie. Okay, so let's move on to our next part of the show, the lightning round. I wanted to start things off a little bit different this time, because I watched a movie that you've been pimping for like 3 years, and Sarah's been pimping it to me for 3 years or so. 4 years, maybe.
I think I know where you're going for.
Yeah. So this one...
Before you even say the name.
Yeah.
This film played Fantastic Fest, right?
It did.
And that's where Sarah saw it?
2013, yeah.
I remember watching it on the Fantastic Fest press site.
Yeah. Yeah, it played opening night.
Was that your first Fantastic Fest?
It was.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was Sarah's first Fantastic Fest movie. And what a way to start Fantastic Fest.
No shit.
Like, holy shit. And... yeah, I didn't make the time for it. We were flipping through Netflix, and Sarah's like, Coherence, it's time. We need to watch Coherence.
Damn like, right, okay. You did.
So for like the first, you know, the next 5-10 minutes, we will talk about Coherence. We will get into spoiler territory. So if you haven't seen Coherence, skip ahead, you know, 5-10 minutes or whatever. And you really need to watch this movie if you haven't seen it. So yeah, I wanted to... Maybe I'll cut this into the end of Movie Club or something. I don't know. I'll do something with the edit.
Oh, that's fine.
To make it easy for people to follow. I'll just, yeah, check the show notes is what I'll do. I'll leave a note in the show notes.
We don't have any rules.
That's right.
Do whatever the fuck we want.
It's our show, damn it. We answer to nobody. So, Coherence.
It's one of the top 5 sci-fi films I've seen in the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And 2 of those are Shane Carruth films.
So that's right.
That's a pretty good company right there.
That's high praise, man. Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Like, this one, I knew it had a sci-fi element to it, but I had no idea what to expect. So starts off, it's like a dinner party with friends. It's almost like The Invitation, right? They're like all friends. They're, you know, how old are they? They're like in their late 20s.
Yeah, 20 to 30s.
Yeah. And they all get along, and stuff happens. There's a power flickering, and they all go outside, and it looks like everybody's power's out, except for this other house. So they're like...
The ominous other house.
Yeah, the other house. So a couple of them, they're like, hey, we'll go check it out. We'll go use their phone, and their cell phones are not working, and some of them are breaking, and... So, like, we'll go check it out. And fucking all hell breaks loose after that, dude.
They start getting weird packages.
Yeah.
People, it's got Xander from Buffy in it.
That's right. Yeah. Didn't they hear, like, a knocking or a thud on their door at one point?
Yep.
Oh, they did. It was not even on the door. It was the side of the house.
And it's all explained.
It is.
Weirdly. All comes back and sort of makes sense.
It does.
And by that time, you're just like, done.
Yeah. Dude, this is brilliant. And what I love about this movie is they establish their rules and they follow them all the way through.
Fucking glow sticks, man.
Yeah. What a concept.
Totally.
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, like, well, spoiler territory here, because, you know, we make our rules, and check the show notes again to see if you need to skip past this. But yeah, they have 2 different color glow sticks. And while they're outside, they run into another group who has the other colored glow sticks. And they take a closer look, and it's them. What the fuck? Oh my god, I freaked out. Nice. I was like screaming on the couch. And they bolted off, and man.
Oh, so good.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I seriously still have no idea how you hadn't seen this film already.
Yeah, you know, that was long overdue.
I think I knew it, too. I should have done it for Movie Club.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that good of a film. Oh,
yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. Yeah. I don't think I've seen... No, that's not true. I saw it on the Fantastic Fest press site, and then Marina Antunes and I went and saw it at Van City in Vancouver.
Oh, sweet.
And then I watched Snowpiercer after it. It was like a midnight show.
Oh, nice.
And it looked so great on that screen.
Nice.
Lovely film.
Yeah.
Glad you finally caught up, man. Yeah, that's awesome. It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Wow, yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And Marina had a really cool interview with the director, and talked about the process and talked about the movie. And
could you imagine the Bible on that film? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, you'd have to make sure everything, like, connected and made sense. Oh.
Yeah.
So well
done. It's crazy.
So well done.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to do kind of an extended Ken talk. I wanted to do sort of an extended conversation about Coherence because it's that good a movie, and I love it. It's so good, and it's one that I can't wait to watch again. Like, I seriously wanted to watch it, like, right away.
And nobody talks about it.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It played Fantastic Fest.
It's crazy.
And nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So moving on with the rest of Lightning Round. So if you skipped past the sort of spoilery discussion of Coherence, I've got some other stuff I watched. So I watched Rodney King. That's that Spike Lee movie that's on Netflix.
Yeah, I talked about it last episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's really damn good, man.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
Well, last episode, I said it took me a bit to get into it.
Yeah.
Same problem?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually was going to say something at the time, but I was like, it's not fair to the movie for me to say this. I watched maybe the first 10 minutes and turned it off at that point. So I knew
it's
what you
harsh.
Were talking about. Yeah,
it's harsh.
It's really harsh.
Yeah.
But then I watched it again, and I said, okay, I'm just going to sit through this and find out what this is all about. And once you really get into the rhythm of that movie, you can feel the pulse of that movie. It's beautiful. It's an amazing performance. I'm blanking out here. What's that actor's name again?
Roger Granvier Smith.
Yeah, he is so good in this. He wrote that whole thing. What a talented guy. And every time you see him in a movie, I'm always really excited to see what he has to do. And I think this is a great platform for him.
And he's magnetic in it.
He is.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
He's like a sweating ball of mess in that film of fury.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, it took me a while to get used to it. But yeah, once I got into the flow of it, I was really quite into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Spike Lee does some pretty cool stuff with the direction.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that live.
Oh, totally.
Could you imagine the vibe in that audience?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you could probably feel the tension in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, great, great movie, and highly recommend it.
So. Once again, Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix coming through, man.
Killing it.
Yeah, because that's something that would never play here if they did try a theatrical run for that.
And it's not 2 hours long. It's like an hour.
Yeah.
So if you got an hour, check it out. Just
check it out.
Maybe be wary that it might take you a second to get used to the vibe of it.
Yeah,
because it's really harsh.
It is. Yeah. Then this weekend, I watched Personal Shopper for a second time. This was at CineCenter, and I just loved it all over again. Stewart just delivers a beautiful performance. I think it's really, it's a very complex performance that I think a lot of people overlook because they're still stuck on her as that character from Twilight. But that's so far in the past. She's emerging as, I think, one of our better actresses of this time, and if she continues to get roles like this, I'll continue to watch them
for sure.
I'll continue to champion her as a great actress. She plays such a vulnerable character, and she plays a character who is mourning and doesn't quite know how to handle it, and I think a lot of us are like that, you know, losing somebody, especially a twin brother. Don't think anyone's equipped for that.
Dude, a singer of a band that I love died.
Yeah.
And I was broken up.
Yeah.
So imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
You saw it with your bros this time, right?
That's right.
And they all liked it too.
Yeah.
And they all had different interpretations.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this film. Everybody kind of has a different view on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's major filmmaking to me.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the best films of last year for me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it last year.
Yeah.
That's my only rule.
Yeah.
Whenever I see it is when I rate it. It's one of the best films you've seen this year.
Oh, yeah. It's my top film right now.
Nice.
By like a wide margin.
You know what's weird? I looked at my list. I have 1 5-star film this year.
Oh, really?
That is it.
Wow.
Can you
guess it? Check mine. Oh, man. From this year, it is.
Because I saw Personal Shopper last year.
That's right. Holy crap.
Just came out on Blu-ray.
Oh, I'm blanking out. Oh,
Logan.
Okay. Yeah, Logan. Okay. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on Logan. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, watch Personal Shopper. I want to be deliberately kind of vague about it because I don't want to accidentally give away anything. And
Personal Shopper is available on VOD.
That's right.
Just watch it.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
And then I watched some lowbrow documentary called Smash, Motorized Mayhem. I saw this on Netflix. It's a documentary about bus racing in the U.S. And it's just, it's exactly what you think it is. It's
like school buses?
Yeah, school buses.
Wow.
It's like okay. A bunch of like hicks, like racing buses. And they have like a few characters who they try to make. Like there's one guy, they describe him as like the Dale Earnhardt of school bus racing. It's like, no, dude. And he even has like a mustache and
wow. So
plays it up.
So this is not the Keddie of school bus riding.
No.
Okay.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's sometimes entertaining, but overall it's pretty bad. It's poorly made.
Why, dude? Seriously.
I just felt dumb and silly. That sometimes you just need to have that garbage movie in your life. I don't know.
That's what Hackers is for.
That's right. Hey, man. Hey. Hackers is a great film.
Mess with the best, die like the rest.
Yes.
Zero cool.
That's right. Love that movie.
So do I.
Pool on the roof sprung a leak. Oh man, I could go all day.
So could I.
So yeah, and then I also watched Tramps, and this is another movie from Netflix, straight to Netflix, and I really love this film. What's his? I'm blanking out on the name. Callum something or other is the lead actor. He was in Green Room. He's the guy who was in the band. He was one of the young guys who he had the dark hair. He has kind of an interesting look to him, and he's in it. He plays a guy who his brother goes to jail, and his brother calls him from jail. He's like, I need you to do this job for me. And he's like, no, I don't know what to do. And he says, you need to do it. I need the money. I'll give you a cut and all this stuff. So he agrees to it. So he has to go to this, like, this takes place in New York, and he has to go meet somebody. They have to drive to a spot, and they have to switch, like, a suitcase with a bag. And so he goes to the place. He meets this girl who is going to be his driver, and they drive to this, like, subway station. And he sees the girl carrying the green bag, and she nods at him, and he switches her bag with his suitcase. And yeah, it was the wrong girl. So
nice.
Yeah, he fucks it up, and him and that girl spend the rest of the movie trying to find it. And they're just a couple really damn charming kids, and I love them both to bits. I just want to hug their faces. And I was really smitten by this movie. It's really charming, it's really sweet, and it's like slice of New York kind of movie.
Cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I just haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah.
So much to watch.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And right after I watched that, from the same director, I checked his IMDb. He did this other movie called Gimme the Loot, which I've always seen on Netflix, and I've always been curious about it, but I didn't watch it until right after I watched Tramps. That one's sort of very similar kind of feel to it. You know, it's got a lot of unknown actors. I think a lot of people who aren't actors at all.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, but it does feel very authentic, and I do enjoy the lead characters in that one. And yeah, it's about a graffiti artist who want to tag the Big Apple at Mets Stadium, and because they're Yankee fans and they want to up their street cred, and all they have to do is come up with $500 to pay off like a security guard or something like that so they can do it. And I think that there is a little bit of commentary about how tough it is for these young kids to acquire $500 and the things they have to do to try to get there. And I think there's a lot to say about that in this movie. It's just kind of a microcosm for the economy and the crappy ways that the world is in shambles, and millennials are expected to buy diamonds and real estate and all that stuff.
Yeah, it feels almost like a film that Spike Lee would have made if he was a film student nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's a compliment.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little rough around the edges, but I still really enjoyed it.
It's a first film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really good.
And for that, it's pretty good.
So oh, yeah.
I didn't have a problem with that film. I think I think I might have actually reviewed it on the show.
Oh, really?
Like, back in the day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and then I rewatched Scott Pilgrim, and I think that kind of solidified my thoughts that it's Edgar Wright's best, most consistent movie. I love Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, it's by far his best film.
Yeah.
So it's not even a contest.
Yeah, yeah. So we've beat that dead horse before, and he actually blocked me on Twitter. Did I tell you that?
Nice!
Somebody quoted one of his tweets, and it said, "This tweet is unavailable," and I could see it was from Edgar Wright, and I clicked on it. It said, "This user has blocked you." I was like, oh.
Wow.
I've never tweeted at him directly, so.
Congratulations.
I guess so.
It's very thin-skinned, it seems.
I guess so. So, yeah, don't ever say anything bad about one of his movies, I guess. Whatever. And then this one, big drum roll. jazz drum roll. I gave La La Land another try. If you've listened to this podcast before, you probably know my stance on La La Land. Hated the film, hated the buzz, hated the whole existence of La La Land, pretty much. It just didn't vibe with me. And, you know, I gave it another go, but this time I, like, watched the special features that are on the iTunes version. And, you know, it's been in production, pre-production for, like, 6 years, and Ryan Gosling actually learned how to play the piano, and when they're playing those musical numbers, that's actually him playing. Like, he's not faking it in this at all. And him and Emma Stone, they worked on their dance numbers for like 3 months leading into the production of the film. And just the amount of love that was poured into it, I could kind of see that. With all of that in mind, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch the movie again. And I think I kind of fell in love with the movie, dude, which is unheard of for me.
I don't know you anymore, man. I yeah, really don't.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck happened?
I posted that on Twitter, and like one of my friends, Deshania, she was like, blink twice if your account's been hacked. So I sent her the gif of like that blinking dude. You've probably seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it, man. Like, I clicked with it. I could feel the voices of Horowitz and Chazelle, and the love poured into it. And
embrace your inner white jazz musician.
Yes.
/ Emma Stone cat.
That's right. Yeah. And I think with this one, I set that aside. And yeah, the race thing still kind of bugs me. It is kind of weird that
but he's Seb.
Yeah, that's right.
The savior of jazz.
That's right.
The savior of jazz.
Yeah. It is kind of weird that John Legend begs him to save his band. There is something kind of backwards with that.
But he played keyboards on Iran.
That's right.
Iran so far away.
Yeah.
So terrible. I don't mind. In the initial review, I liked it more than you did, and I saw it again, and I think I liked it a little bit more, but I still rate it like 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
What would you rate this now?
I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Oh, gee.
I know, dude.
Seriously.
It's weird. It is so weird, but I just felt it was very important.
You've changed,
man. Yeah, I have. I just wanted to be totally transparent with this. I want to be very honest with myself and with our listeners.
So weird.
It is weird, right? Because I bet if we went back and listened to that previous episode, I was probably just like a bottle of hatred. And
you were.
Yeah.
So next movie club is going to be a musical.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring it on. So yeah, that's my lightning round. I know it was a bit long-winded.
Sweet. I got a few things. A couple rewatches off the top. I rewatched We Are X, the documentary about X-Japan, which is still really sweet.
Nice.
I freaking love that documentary.
Wicked.
It is so twisted. It like makes no sense. Like, they're like this band who breaks up because one of the members goes into a cult.
Then
a bunch of members die, and everything goes really strange and weird, and the music is really super heavy as fuck. They're like the Japanese version of like Heavy Slayer.
Nice.
But they look like glam people from 1984. It's so weird.
It's awesome.
I love that documentary. If you haven't seen We Are X, so good. Check it out. Last episode, I talked about having to rewatch The Road, so I rewatched it. the John Hillcoat movie.
Okay.
So good.
Wicked.
That movie is great. I knew how great it was, but I kind of had forgotten, I guess. It's so great.
Yeah.
The Road is so good. Keep on watching that film once a year, I think.
Nice.
To the new movies. 24 by 36, a movie about posters.
Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Oh, really?
I don't give a flying fuck about your posters. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't. Who cares? Some of them look really cool. You're all really weird.
Yeah. Was it like those hardcore collectors and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was not made for me. I did not vibe with this at all. I just thought, you guys are really weird. I don't care.
Okay.
And it's really long.
It is.
It's like an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, man.
Like, what the hell?
Of people going, oh, I got this poster online and it cost me $500.
Oh, my God. I got a rare variant of a Mondo. Who cares? I don't.
Nice.
Bond Cop, Bad Cop 2.
Okay. How was this?
Only for Canadians.
Okay.
And this Canadian was not a very big fan of it.
Oh, no.
It's the two actors are really good, but the script is not.
Okay.
It's pretty much the first film, but stupider.
Oh, that's too bad. I like the first one.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't for me either, obviously.
Yeah.
Snatched.
Oh.
Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn are actually kind of fun at times, but the movie is so stupid.
Okay.
Amy Schumer in Trainwreck was so confident and smart.
Yeah.
It's like the exact opposite of film. And I couldn't get over that. Like you talked about how great it was to do that in Trainwreck, and then you made this piece of shit.
Wow. Yeah.
F*** you. I don't like Amy Schumer.
Okay.
I think she's not a very good comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her Netflix special. I thought it sucked.
Yeah.
And I heard she steals jokes.
Yeah, that's brutal. There's a YouTube video showing that.
Sorry if you like Amy Schumer, but no thanks. The Wall. Another movie people aren't talking about.
Okay.
It's directed by Doug Liman.
Yeah.
Who did like a bunch of films. It's got... Aaron Taylor Johnson and John Cena.
Oh, that's right.
They play snipers who get pinned down by they're in the Middle East, and they get pinned down by this sniper who is like the best of the best. And every time they try to do something, he's five steps ahead of them.
Okay,
it's quite interesting. I liked it. Ending is kind of anticlimactic, though.
Yeah,
it's not a bad film. Buster's Mal Hart.
Oh shit, we haven't talked about this.
Watched it this morning.
Okay,
just hit iTunes.
Nice.
Don't think I liked this one as much as you did.
Okay,
thought it kind of got convoluted at the end.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's just like okay, this is. But I liked it. Rami Malek's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole idea of the multiple. What can I say about this? It's not a spoiler. Jesus. Yeah,
it's tough.
I like the whole idea of the multiple personality aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought they lost their way explaining it.
Okay.
Still not a bad film.
Yeah.
It's not a great film either. Glad I saw it, though.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes if you want to watch it. A little rough little Australian film, which is also on iTunes, called Hounds of Love.
Okay.
About this woman and man who kidnap Australian teenage women and torture them.
Oh.
It's rough.
Yeah, it sounds brutal.
It's a really rough little film. But I like rough little films.
Yeah, you're no stranger to that.
It's a nasty little piece of work, and I kind of liked it.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty violent, and there's torture, and it's a horror film. If you don't like horror films, this is not the film for you.
But it's called Hounds of Love. Yeah. That sounds like a nice movie.
It is not.
Okay.
And finally, two television things.
Okay.
Yes, we're a movie podcast, but I think Adrian might have saved this one because he knew I was going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, Master of None Season 2.
Hell yeah.
If it was a movie, it would be my second favorite film of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, because every one of these episodes feels like a film.
It does.
One of them, maybe two of them, don't quite work for me as much as the other ones do. But they're still like 4 out of 5 instead of 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Starting off with the black and white episode, right as the episode starts, it pans over and shows a bunch of Criterion Blu-rays
and
a bunch of Italian Fellini films.
That's so cool.
And I'm like, I love this already.
Yeah.
I love Aziz.
Yeah,
he's so awesome. Good in this.
Yeah.
And all of his friends and his Italian friend, who might be the hottest female I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the goods.
It really is.
It's not the same as season one.
No.
Get that out of your head, people. It's cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
Season one was a comedy.
Yeah.
This one has laughs,
mm-hmm.
but it's super serious.
Yeah.
And I, you know, might have, you know, leaked a few tears.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. It's a really emotional season.
Yeah.
And his parents are back.
Yeah.
I freaking love his parents.
Oh, totally.
Hey, are you doing that, dude?
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you fix my iPad?
Yeah, that was awesome. And yeah, it definitely has a very cinematic feel to it, like the walking and talking and like the tracking shots, the wide shots. It's just, oh, it's gorgeous, man.
The scene of them driving on the scooters and like the boonies in Italy.
Oh yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah. And not to be that guy, but it's shot in 4K, right?
Oh, so, you're that guy.
Yeah. I was just like in 4K heaven, dude. It's so beautiful.
The worst thing about this whole season was that I knew before I watched it that Aziz has said he doesn't want to do another season until he's lived a little.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, no.
Oh, man.
Next year, baby.
Yeah.
Go get some girl pregnant because I need a freaking yeah. series.
Yeah, dude. It's amazing. All the characters are so good. They're so well developed. And yeah, what did you think of that sort of standalone episode, that New York, I Love You episode?
I liked it. That was the episode I wasn't quite as big on.
Yeah.
I understood what it was. In comparison to the other episodes, I thought it was minor.
Oh, yeah.
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 Still a good episode.
It is, yeah.
But not a great episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just... He was batting 1,000 until that episode. And I was just like, okay, this is still pretty good. But yeah. The other episode people have told me that they didn't like was the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, you're fucking high.
Oh,
that episode is awesome.
It owns.
I know.
Yeah. Huh. Crazy.
So, yeah. And the ending is just... Wow.
Yeah. Home run, dude.
Yeah. It's just like, wow, this is okay. Yeah. We need more of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Love Master of None.
And I watched 4 episodes of Twin Peaks last night.
Oh, sweet. And how's it was that?
Amazing.
Nice.
You probably should know if you're going to watch it that you should either have watched a lot of David Lynch films or all of Twin Peaks. And that includes Fire Walk With Me.
Okay.
Because you will not get it.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's a David Lynch show. He is fucking with you.
Nice.
Just get that through your head.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Wow.
And I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's so weird and so out of the blue horror-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff happens that is so violent and it fucks with you.
Nice.
He's so... David Lynch.
Yeah.
Like nobody is like him.
Yeah.
As you're going to find out in Blue Velvet.
Wicked.
But yeah, I freaking loved it. I can't wait for more. There's 18 episodes.
Wow.
I have an app that a friend of mine gave me a password to so I could watch HBO stuff and all that stuff. And it kept on crashing.
Oh, no way. Because
everybody was watching Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's right.
I was fucking furious.
Oh, brutal. Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. I can't wait for more.
Cool.
It's so weird. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's it for me.
Right on. Wicked, man. So that's all you have for... Well, that's all you have. That's it for your lightning round?
Pretty big lightning round.
That is. Yeah. It's a bit of an XL edition, but that's cool. That's how we roll here.
Yeah.
Right on. So what do we have coming up in the next couple of weeks?
So at least we have something to watch. Don't know if it's going to be good.
That's right.
May 26th, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh.
Don't care at all.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll watch this one.
Really?
Yeah. I hate Johnny Depp and the whole thing with is that his ex-wife now or Amber Heard?
Yeah.
That whole thing weirds me out. And I hate him anyway.
I like the first one.
Yeah, me too.
That is it.
Yeah.
All the rest of them have been really bad.
Yeah.
But, okay, I guess you can watch Baywatch.
Yes, I will watch Baywatch. I
can't wait for this. It looks really funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a feeling that the Pirates film is going to flop terribly,
mm-hmm.
and Baywatch is going to be huge.
I'd be okay with that.
Me too.
The Rock, he's He's the biggest movie star going right now, I think. Is he the best? Maybe not, but he's a monster, dude.
And Zac Efron's in it to take his shirt off.
That's right.
Yeah. And Alexander Daddario.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
True Detective Season 1.
Yeah. June 2nd, Captain Underpants.
Ah.
Not made for us.
What's that one?
I think it's a comic strip or something like that. Or
okay.
About a principal who gets hit on the head or something and becomes Captain Underpants.
Oh, I think I saw the trailer once.
Yeah. That's nothing for me.
Yeah, same here.
So I'm seeing this in 2 days.
Yeah.
But Adrian won't be, so we can't even talk about it until it actually opens.
That's right.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Which everybody is saying is great.
Cool.
So I can't wait.
Sign me up.
It kind of looks like Captain America to me.
It does, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, because those are my favorite Marvel films, other than Guardians 1.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. That's it. Oh, wow. Because who wants to go against Pirates and Wonder Woman?
I know.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, we may have to go into the well on this one next episode.
Well, hopefully you'll take one for the team and see Pirates. And Pirates and
maybe
Baywatch and Wonder Woman.
I'll buy a ticket for Baywatch and then I'll go see Pirates. I don't know.
Yeah, it's lean, man.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like you texted me before the show and it's like, I haven't seen anything. And I'm like, well, watch Risk.
Yeah, that's right.
We only had two movies to review.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Crazy. Right on, dude.
But yeah, 24-hour movie marathon. And yeah, it's going to be good.
Cool. Yeah, so we'll at least have that up. We'll probably post that maybe 4 or 5 days after this episode gets posted. So
hopefully they don't play Blue Velvet.
That'd be funny. Kill two birds with one stone. Maybe I'll wait until after. We'll see. So that's crazy. Well, I guess we can tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I am at SoundJam69. Say hi.
I'm at Adrian_Charlie. We have a show. The show has a Twitter account. It's at @TheGreen_Screen. You can also find us on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like. You can also find us on various podcast platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, wherever you can find a podcast. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like. Throw us a comment. That'll help us find a wider audience. We appreciate that.
I got two little things here.
Okay, cool, yeah.
I made a comment last episode. I waited till the end to say this because fuck it, I don't care.
Do it.
I made a comment about a female theater booker in Vancouver last episode.
Okay.
And a friend of mine yelled at me for it.
No way.
And I told him to fuck off.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's for them.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm not going to talk about the other thing.
Okay.
I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Okay.
Shit.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
Okay. One thing.
Okay, that's enough.
Cool.
One thing's enough.
That's right. Right on, dude. Right on. Well, that's the thing. If you're an asshole to one of us, like, it may come up. I don't know.
Whatever. I have a really big mouth.
That's right. So do I, though.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll say something here that could get me in trouble with people. A big fuck you to film Twitter in general. I posted a thing that one of my favorite fantasy football analysts posted, something really cool about, like, how, you know, fantasy football people, they share content. Doesn't matter which website you write for. Well, hey, people, read this article. It's really cool. You should check it out. This guy's a good writer. This girl's a good writer. There's a lot of community bonding things that happen in fantasy football that doesn't happen with film Twitter. Film Twitter, it's like, you're not down with my website? Well, fuck you. And like, I have friends who are in film criticism, and I've written to them saying, hey, I read your review on this movie. I thought it was really cool, or I disagree with it because of this. I don't even get anything back. And I'm just like, who the fuck are you, dude? Oh,
wonderful.
So I posted that fantasy football thing. I said, hey, I think film Twitter could learn a lot because there's a lot of, what did I say? Just like negative vibes in film Twitter and fantasy football for the most part, from my experience in it so far. Because I've written about football for off and on for like the last year. It's a lot of love and sharing. And I think film Twitter could learn from that. Couple of my friends jokingly posted like fuck you, and then some total piece of shit from over a year ago commented to me, he's like, get fucked. And I was like, oh, I miss our conversations, dude. He's like, I don't miss you. You're a piece of shit. And he just like sent me all these hateful messages. He's somebody I don't even know. And not once have I insulted him. And I said that to him. I was like, are you okay, dude? Because like, I don't know you. You don't know me. I've never called you names. And then he said, no, but you insulted my family. And it's like, oh, you're trying to be like Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious or some shit. So a big you to that guy. Move on.
Bitch fest time.
Move on, yeah. You bunch of whiny millennials. So we'll end the episode on
probably,
that note.
This is probably the latest we've ever recorded.
That's
so
true.
So if we sound really tired, it's because it's like 1 a.m. in the morning.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adrian has to be at work in like 5 hours.
I do. It sucks. So until next time, thanks very much for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.